everyone. This is Lina Mirmont with my show, Lina Live. I have an extremely unusual guest with a lot of vibration and life, ideas, style. And this lady whose name, Alexandra Villarroel Abrego, is going to join us momentarily. I just will introduce her with just a few qualities she has as a self-made entrepreneur. She also trained and certified as a life coach. She is certainly skilled in business management, and all these tools she's using to express herself in everyday and special moments of life with beauty, with her personal secrets, which I hope she will share with us, and the most important, her energy for life. So I'd like to invite Alexandra to our conversation with perhaps a little general question, but as an opening to our more specific questions about life. But the general question is, what is your perception of our personal connections in the modern world?
Hi, everyone. First of all, so yes, it is Alexandra. Thank you for having me on your show. So what is my perception of the connections in the modern world? Is that the question?
That's the question, a bit general, but we will start from that, and then we will focus on more specific issues.
Okay, well, that's really a great question. If we're talking about connections, networking, I think that with the internet and with everything, you know, with the technology that we have today, I think that we are able to have great connections, you know, between one another, and it's great opportunities for everyone, if that's what you mean. Was that the question, like regarding the connections like that?
That's a good beginning, but I like to dig more into the personal side of it. How are we sneaking our personal desires inside of this technical convenience and all this networking which you mentioned?
Well, I think that it really depends. It depends on what you like to do in life, on what your purpose is. I truly and strongly believe that everyone on this earth has a purpose. And depending on what that purpose is, that's when I guess that's when you can use, you know, the technology or the connections or networking in order to connect with others who maybe have the same goals that you have and have the same, you know, purpose that you have and things like that.
If we will go now strictly into the personal areas, because reading about you and knowing that you dedicated yourself to writing a few books, one of which called Beyond Beauty, I wanted to ask you, what is your perception of human nature and, again, connections on a personal level, let's say 15, 20 years ago, and how did it change today?
My perception or 15, 20 years ago with the world?
How was it 15 years ago and how did it change today? What is your perception of this change? What is the dynamic of it?
I think there's a great change in humanity. You know, I think that as years go by, really humanity, it becomes better and better with, you know, the technology that we have. Yes, but not only that, with the knowledge that we have, you know, how they say that when you know better, you do better. And I believe that knowledge is power, really. So I think that with everything that we have, all the tools that we have with us today, we can really accomplish many more things that than people back then could not accomplish and didn't have the opportunity to have, you know?
Absolutely. This is on a business and some material progressive sense. But if we will talk about some emotional human excitement, which I think greatly deprived if we just limited ourselves to the internet, this famous Facebook and some other means of interneting through the machinery. How do you feel our personal emotional world is suffering from that?
Well, I think that in a way the world is suffering because they allowed that to become the only thing that they have. What I mean by that is that they allow, you know, technology, Facebook or anything like that to really become the center of their world when they forget the really true important meanings of life. You know, with the media nowadays, I think that young girls and young men are being bombarded constantly with, you know, wrong perceptions on what life should be and is supposed to be, when in actuality it's really about, you know, knowing yourself and knowing your self-worth and knowing what it is that you want out of life and things like that.
I did read your interview. Frankly, I was puzzled. I couldn't understand who was posing quite a open questions to you. I personally believe that any question can be asked, but circumstances should be proper, and certain private questions can be asked in an eloquent way. But mm-hmm. certain questions should be asked only in a private sort of, and comfort of a certain group. Mm-hmm. I will ask you to be absolutely honest with me, and if I indeed go a little overboard and ask two of personal questions, you just tell me politely no, and I will go to another question.
Okay, no
problem. In your last answer, another question being triggered, you mentioned that people almost don't have chance to discover who they are from inside out. I personally agree with you. There is more of the predominant information from outside, inside. How is a young person, and let's go to young woman, can find her feminine quality in this very rushed technical society? What is your perception, perhaps little tools, suggestions for young woman to catch a moment and to think about her own beauty?
Well, I think that it's a lot of spending time with yourself. I remember that a few years ago, I used to always be surrounded by a lot of people, and I was very unhappy back then in my life and where my life was going. And I was always surrounded by a lot of people. I didn't really take the time ever to spend time with myself. I was always very easily influenced. And I think that, like I said, with the media and everything, young girls are being more and more influenced into looking a certain way, into being a certain way, and into having a life, you know, that they see on TV that seems to be the life, but in actuality, it might not be, you know, the right life for them, basically. But I think that my first, I think, advice to any young lady out there who's trying to find herself or to create herself, because I don't even believe in finding yourself. I don't believe that that's possible. But I believe in creating yourself. It's really spending a lot of time by yourself. I always recommend, because I do a high school tour. I go to different high schools to speak to the youth. And I always recommend to the students that they should read more. Read, you know, books that will help you open your mind to things that you might not, that they might not at that time, you know, not even know that it exists, these things. So I recommend that. And yeah, and really spending a lot of time with yourself and evaluating who you are and where your life is going.
You know, it comes to mind some perhaps not terribly popular and old-fashioned tradition when actually going even way back, and there was boys' school and girls' school, and they've been emphasizing in studying history, and that history was not necessarily female or male history. It was a history for all. And then they would meet and exchange in dance and perhaps viewing some artistic events. It would be somewhat limited physical exchange compared to our modern times, but it will be such a meaningful and symbolic exchange, more of a human beings rather than opposite sex. There is almost a curse if you don't have sex by a certain age in our time. How do you talk to young girls about sex?
Yeah, I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame because back then, you know, your virginity and your innocence was really important and was something that was taught in households to young girls, you know, don't lose your virginity with anyone and things like that. And nowadays I hear sometimes stories about young girls, you know, just at the youngest age, like 15 years old, 14 years old, losing their innocence to, you know, a guy who doesn't even love her, doesn't even care about her. When I speak, and I do speak to a lot of young girls about that, about the importance, you know, of your body and how your body is something sacred and you shouldn't have to share it with the entire world. And what I tell them, it's really simple. It's just that their body basically is like a temple and they should keep it for themselves until they find someone who they know they can trust, someone who respects them, and someone who truly and really loves them not only for how they look on the outside, but also for the inside. And I really always believe that they should, you know, hold on to it for as long as possible, hold on to their innocence for as long as they can.
Yes, it's certainly very noble message. I will go further, and I would say there is a huge difference between young sex and good sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the longer this virginity will be preserved and time will be enriched with just exchange of life experiences, school events, maybe trips, maybe beautifully holding hands or watching some kind of fantastically beautiful sunset. If that will create this electricity for the future breaking through of true feelings, that I'm really painting an ideal picture.
Yeah.
I wanted to shift and to ask you, judging by your picture, which is extremely attractive, and I do not need to be a man to appreciate
you.
The way you look. Let's jump to immediate secrets. Whether we old or young, we always will love to know those secrets which will make us feel a little more slender or to feel a little lighter. I'm not going to ask you basic, boring diet questions, but if we can go to some aesthetic questions, for example, about the colors. I remember that in Eastern Europe, black was considered a slendering color, just to emphasize the shape of the figure and making women feel a little narrower. What is your idea of colors for the female body?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, I wear any color, honestly. The reason, the pictures that you saw were on my website, and I wanted my website to be three main colors. It was just white, black, and red. So that's why every outfit that I'm wearing on the website is really black. I'm just in all black. But I'll wear any color, honestly. And about, you were speaking about dieting and things like that. I do not believe in dieting. I don't believe that it's a thing that women should do. I think that it's, I don't know, I just don't believe in dieting. And also, I believe that you should be comfortable with whatever size you are, you know. But yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, jumping in. I was holding my breath, but I wanted to tell you, it sounds so shallow but sincere. When I saw your colors, it happened to be my favorite colors. Because
really?
This is, yes, it's a color of very sincere and extremely open-minded gypsy. They love those colors. And those colors just speak for itself. And if they can complement, be complemented with the strong character, expressive character like yourself, I sense, I think those colors truly, truly find a home in the body, and I truly agree that any colors can complement the body. I would add just a little thing. It depends what are you wearing, also the line, whether it's a full pants or a slender dress or the blouse. So colors, I think, can be thoughtfully chosen, and then depending upon the event you're going to, I think your figure can look that much different every time you're wearing the same colors.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. It's really true. And I also want to add to that, talking about, you know, clothing and things like that. We were talking before about young girls and, you know, innocence and everything. I think that also young girls nowadays, they think that by showing more, it's more sexy, you know?
Yes.
And I have learned that with showing less, actually, like covering more, like showing less, it's better and it's more sexy and it's more attractive. So I just wanted to add that to our little clothing conversation.
I'm opening this conversation. And in fact, it is a fantastic point because it creates a mystery. These
Exactly.
girls showing everything they have. I will be bored after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Your point is well taken. It depends the taste, and it depends, again, coming back to your own point, to know yourself or you discover yourself, then you discover your fashion.
Exactly.
I don't believe that there is really a screaming fashion today and tomorrow. I think classic shape still of English suit will suit many women, but some kind of dress, summer dress, which will suit any younger girl. I think there are certain classic traditional shapes which are absolutely fantastic. Well, let me ask you a few of your, I would say, professional, personal events. What is the most memorable event you organized or you've been engaged? What kind of a people, what kind of nature and energy of this event you remember?
Well, I would say that that was my book, not book signing, but my book release party, which was last year, October 8th, 2010. I organized the event, which I will never do again. I am not made to organize events. It's very stressful, and there's a lot of things to take care of. But I organized it. I was very proud of it, and it was just a great night. It was a, the book release party, and there was all my good friends and family. Who were there, who showed up, and it was a very classic formal event at a very nice place that I remember when I was a little girl. I used to always look at that reception hall, and I was always like, one day I'm going to do an event there. I don't know if it's going to be my wedding, but I know I will do an event. And I did, and it was my book release party. So that is the most memorable event that I had until today.
Well, it is wonderful that you could share this event with people because, after all, we are artists or for the people. And I also wanted to notice that either you call yourself as a superwoman, as self-sufficient, or admirers. So please open this. Please put that.
That's a good question. I don't want to sound, cocky or anything, but I have been called a superwoman. I call myself self-sufficient, which means, being able to take care of myself financially on my own. I'm not saying that I'm independent because to say that you're independent means that you're unable to depend on someone, which is not true. So that's why I say I am self-sufficient. But superwoman, I have been called like that, and I just wanted to, find a nice word that would fit, in my website. I don't know. I just thought about that word. So yeah.
Well, that's very descriptive, and I just wanted to reveal a little information about you since it was part of your interview, and it exactly illustrates what you just said, that one of the most expensive items you bought is your condominium, for which I congratulate you,
Thank
because
you.
for beautiful, I understand you're still a single woman, to have your own independent living space is an accomplishment. And
Thank
you're sharing this with your beautiful dog, I understand.
No, I don't. I don't have a dog. I have two birds.
I'm sorry. That is my mistake. I see. I love dogs. I assume that someone would say that they live with some kind of animal. I automatically assume that I was a dog. So you
No,
do
my food.
live with. I see. So how do you travel with birds?
Oh, I have to always leave them somewhere when I travel. I'm going away in 2 weeks for 3 weeks outside of Canada, and I'm gonna have to leave them with a friend of mine because I can bring them with me. But I love them. They don't love me though. They don't like me. But I do
Oh,
love
well, that's a mystery. How did you find out such a one-way street there?
I don't know. They just don't like me when I approach them. So I'm guessing that, it's just one-way love, really.
I see. Well, as long as there is a love, we love it. I certainly did not comment on the fact that you are Canadian and that you speaking French just as fluent as you speak in English. Any other languages you are speaking?
Yes, Spanish too.
And speaking about French, this is somewhat a bit of a sensitive subject sometimes in the United States because even though Americans love to travel in France, but French have their own views, their own ways and their own habits. So sometimes it's a little bit of a friction. How would you describe the differences between American, in general, American style, because there are many, many, obviously, styles because of the nature of the country, and French culture?
Because the thing is that it's different. I never been to France. I would love to one day go to France, but here, you know, it's Canada. We live in Quebec, in the province of Quebec, and it's everyone speaks English or French. I don't think that there's a big difference between us here and Americans. Yeah, well, of course there is, you know, a lot of differences, but I think we kind of live the same lifestyle. We watch the same shows on TV. We watch the same movies. It's really we kind of live the same lifestyle, I would say. Personally, I love going to the United States. I absolutely love it. But yeah, so I would say that it's almost the same.
I have to brag that we finally have very classic French croissant in certain cafes and restaurants in the United States. So especially if you're in New York, there is a fantastic chain of restaurants, which you might even know, Le Pain Quotidien. Maybe it is in Canada already. Maybe it's not. But no. I just wanted to say that we all have taste of the croissant. Yeah. And on this tasty note, perhaps we'll take just a little pause, a little break. We will give our beautiful Alexandra a little rest, and we will listen to just a charming piece of music, which will bring us to next segment of our program, where we will be exploring more of the beauty of life. So here, enjoy this piece of music by Julian Lampert. And we're back with Alexandra. Alexandra, I'd like to ask you to announce your website so our listeners will be able to find you. And I think you will do it better than myself. So please announce where we can find you.
Well, my website is alexandravillaruel.com. Should I spell it? Or no, I think it's okay. Alexandravillaruel.com.
I will ask you to spell it because you said it so dynamically fast.
Yeah.
That even I can't understand this. So
okay. Perfect. So it's Alexandra, the word Alexandra, well, the name Alexandra, and then it's VILLARROEL.com altogether. And you can find me there. You can find more information about me. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's Alexandra Abrego. So it's the name Alexandra and Abrego, A-B-R-E-G-O, and you can also find me on Facebook. I have a fan page and a personal page.
Fantastic. What was your most memorable freelance work, appearance, message?
That's a good question. My freelance work or appearance? Do I name two or do I just name one?
Whatever you like. If you battling yourself, which one was the best, please name two.
Okay. honestly, it's hard for me to answer that question because what I love to do the most really is the high school tour that I'm doing. So every appearance that I do at a high school, when I go, I usually spend the entire day there. I go to four different classrooms and I speak for 50 minutes each time. And every time I am so excited and I just love it. That I can't even choose the most special appearance that I did in high school, because at every high school it's always different. It's always different students, but they always have so much love for me, and it's always so incredible. So I would say that that's That's my most memorable appearances. More than, more than when I do motivational speaking or anything else.
I certainly cannot thank you enough personally being involved with young people, how valuable your work is. In a sense, I'm going too far, but I feel that you're stepping into the shoes of the parents. Perhaps you even substitute certain information which young girls and perhaps young boys would not get from home. I'm sure you're becoming more than just a feeler. You're creating this understanding, which is so vital, which is so important for young minds and young bodies. So again, I just wanted to thank you profoundly that you emphasize in your energy, knowledge, and I'm sure intuition on this particular segment of population. Mm-hmm. How do you see yourself, let's say, in a few years, which branch of your activities you will like to develop more?
Well, I have enrolled to a university to do, well, finish my studies in communications, because what I want to do, and I have always wanted to do that since I'm, for as long as I can remember, really, is to produce a show. So I need to, you know, get my certification first, but that's really the main thing that I want to do. And I want to, all the things that I do today, the book, the high school tour, you know, the seminars, webinars, presentations, all of what I'm doing, it's really, it's all going to be embodied in the show. It's really like I'm building the foundation to what that ultimate goal, if I can call it like that, is. So in 5 years from now, definitely I would be starting to produce the show. I would say that.
Radio or television?
Television.
And that show you will produce in Quebec, Canada, I would take it.
Honestly, that's, I have been thinking about that, if I would want it here in Canada or in America, in the United States, because all my life since I was a little girl, I always knew that I wanted to one day move to the United States. So I'm still debating. I'm still debating where I will produce it.
Absolutely. The question about certain ideas for that show you like to produce, I can imagine this is a very powerful dream of yours. So I would say there will be a combination of your knowledge, what you will be studying, but also your personal life experience. How would you say today, when we don't really have time to experience certain things in life, how can we catch up with this? How can we overcome this lack of time, lack of moment for ourselves?
I say that you have time. I say that everyone has time to do anything. We all have 24 hours in a day, right? So people who are living their dreams out there, they have 24 hours in a day. You know, us, we have 24, everyone has 24 hours in a day. So why, what is your excuse when someone else, you know, is, you know, living their dreams and living life, you know, to their full potential? What is someone else's excuse to not doing the same? There's no excuse, because we all have time. So yeah, I would say that that's the answer, that we all really have time to do anything that we want.
And actually, you subscribe somewhat to my own conviction. It's not how long the time is. It's even if there is 30 seconds, it can shift us to such a incredible, desirable direction, or perhaps give us another shift, realization. So it's not question of just time, it's a moment of timing, which you're absolutely correct. If we commit it to ourselves, we always can find. After all, in 24 hours, we can find a moment to think about beautiful rose inside of 10 seconds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How would you see the connection between our very physical oriented and material oriented society with the artistic and totally abstract vision of the world? When you are in communication with young people, what kind of ideas you are sharing with them? Something, for example, you can see, you can feel, but certain things you cannot see, you cannot feel, but it is in your mind. How in your life, your personal life, concrete and abstract find its peace?
That's a very profound question. I would say, like you mean when I go to the schools and do the workshops, what am I feeling inside, you mean? And what am I not projecting, but what I have inside, how do I feel? Is that what you mean?
You know, actually both. If you are inclined and if you fascinated yourself with this substance of, I should say, with this vision in life to enrich your internal life, like you mentioned before, to learn about yourself, if you are convinced internally that you can constantly develop yourself inside, which is somewhat abstract because you cannot give it to someone, you cannot smell it and you cannot see it, but you only can feel it for yourself. Would you transmit this, let's say, if not skill, but that possibility and that human talent to the youngsters? Or it would be too complicated and they're not ready for this?
Well, you know how they say that when the student is ready, the teacher shall appear. And I actually say that to them at the beginning when I go to their classes. I, you know, introduce myself and I always say, it's possible that what I'm going to talk about for the next 15 minutes, you're not going to understand nothing. You're going to hear it, but you're not going to understand it. You're going to be like, what is she talking about? Who is that girl? You're not going to understand nothing about what I'm saying because you might not be ready to maybe, you know, understand everything, you know, that I'm talking about, because I talk a lot, I talk for 50 minutes. But that doesn't make you, you know, a bad person, or that doesn't make you that you're, if I can say it like that, stupid. It's not that. It's just that you are not ready and it is not your time. So I go on and then I speak for 50 minutes. I speak about a lot of things. I speak about the media and how it influences them and how to not allow that to happen. I talk about beauty and the wrong and different perceptions of beauty and how it should be. One question that I love that I ask them at the beginning is I ask them all to stand up and tell me what their biggest goal and dream in life is. And they all say what their goal, biggest goal and dream in life is. And the main purpose of that workshop is to really get them to understand that whatever it is that they want to achieve in life, they really can make it happen. And I truly and honestly believe that, that they really can make whatever they want become a reality.
Honestly, my convoluted question brought a wonderful answer of yours, because I like to hear that you give, simply speaking, something over the head, something for the students to wonder, something to get lost a little bit, to become a little bit uncomfortable, but at the same time to be challenged. And then you bring certain concrete questions which are so dear to their hearts. So this combination is really wonderful that you're achieving when you speak to the young brain. Complacence is one of the problems, I believe, today, because in one sense, young people are imitating what neighbor does, these peer pressure issues. Lately, we're dealing with these bullies, terrible phenomena. In the same time, we do have those precious individuals who are trying to preserve their identity, who are trying to survive being different. How sensitive you are to find out and perhaps approach an individual like those different souls?
Well, I think that what I love the most about what I do is that usually after that, there some of the students or anyone are going to come talk to me and, you know, in private and tell me about, you know, this little problem that they have or how they feel insecure about how they look or, you know, things like that. And I think it's a journey. It's really a journey of creating yourself and being able to get to the point in your life where you're finally comfortable with who you are and you're happy with who you are and you're happy with who you are becoming. So it's really, really a journey. But of course, I speak to them. I speak to them about my experience, about my past, about everything, you know, I've been through in the past and how if I was able to make it and be standing where I am standing today, you know, they can also make whatever they want happen. I guess that's how I would approach it. I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, but it does answer, frankly, Partly because only at your level of comfort, what was the most dramatic experience in your life, which was perhaps a pivotal point of your own journey?
Well, I don't think there was any dramatic, you know, thing that happened. I think it was everything in my life was just wrong. I remember it was a point in my life where I was 18 years old, and I was not living at my mother's house anymore. I was living with a friend of mine, and I was in a very, very unhealthy relationship with a man that I loved very much, but I knew that he wasn't in love with me, and I my finances were completely bad. It was just bad. I couldn't even go to the grocery to buy food. I was working at a job like that I hated, a dead-end job. And everything was just so bad in my life. So it was really a combination of everything and me realizing that, okay, I was tired of, you know, living the life that I was living. So there wasn't any, you know, dramatic thing that really happened.
Well, honestly, you're being too modest. Thank you for sharing this. I think it's a tremendously dramatic experience for anyone, but for a young girl not be able to live with her mother and to be challenged already in a financial and in a personal level when you're developing as a young woman, my God, this is very, very classic drama, and you did overcome it, which again, my tremendous admiration for you. Let me ask you, what kind of music, perhaps art, what kind of a wine, what kind of food do you like?
What kind of music do I like?
Music, art, wine, and food. I ask you all this courtier question.
Okay. well, for music, I listen to all types of music, really. Everything from classic music to rap, anything. I listen to all kind of music. Now for art, it really, I'm not a person who's going to go, you know, to the museum and things like that. That's not me, but I do appreciate art, and I do, appreciate, you know, nice things. People who are able to example art, if we're talking about painting, people who are able to see something and just draw it on a paper. I can't even understand how you can do that. And I think it's really amazing. For the food, I eat all kinds of food also. I eat a lot of seafood. I love seafood. I eat a lot of Italian food. I eat a lot of spicy food. I love spicy food. I am originally from Bolivia, so I eat a lot of Latin food. That's what it would be. And for wine, well, really any wine. I would drink any wine. I love wine more than any other types of alcoholic beverages, really. Does that answer the question?
It certainly does. Do you combine, let's say, some fashion idea? Yes, you said you don't like to, and you never will arrange party anymore. But something tells me that you still will be very good at this, combining certain fashion and certain wine and certain dishes of food. Do you see that life can be orchestrated with, on the surface, disconnected elements and yet very harmoniously connected?
That's an interesting question. Yes, I believe that, yes, of course. Like, you mean combining all types of different maybe fashion ideas with food and
yes,
things like that?
Yes, I'll give you, and I'm not a wine connoisseur, but just to make it a little bit more clear, let's say we're in a cold winter time, and we can have wine tasting with emphasis on very rich Bordeaux with the fashion, which will introduce some rich colors like your red or some heavy wool and some beautiful mohair and some dishes with meaty, very rich, warming dishes. And then in the summertime, we might have total opposite. We'll have very light white wines with all these flying fabrics, and everything will be in different colors. So the taste of life might change tremendously, directing to the event or even actually time of the year, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I think it's great. It's really going outside of the box and going outside maybe of people's and your comfort zone. And I think that that's when great things happen, when someone has a great idea and they decide to do it, even if it's not what usually other people do, and decide to do something original, that's really when great things happen.
And before we will take another short break with another musical insert, I will leave Alexandra with a question. What kind of most outrageous things she experienced in her life?
Outrageous things.
Mm. Yes, I will give you a chance to think about that with after this short moment of another charming music by Julian Lampert. Are you ready with your answer?
Yes. Well, I would have a couple of answers, but I don't have anything that's really outrageous, like that everyone's going to be like, whoa, really? I don't have anything like that because I consider myself, and I always say that, but I don't say it in a bad like side of it. I'm really boring. I spend most of my days reading and things like that. So I'm not really, I don't do outrageous things. But I would say that the most outrageous thing that I have ever done, I don't even know, because I know people are gonna say, "Wow, she really is boring."
I don't think if I will jump in, I would say I don't think you even know how to spell word boring. But I do not want to put you under the pressure. Let me modify my question and ask you, what was the most memorable moments? Or where you felt courageously motivated and did something which you normally would not do?
I think it would be that I have a few. First was when I really, when like I said before, I turned 18 and I moved out of my parents' house. That was one thing that I never thought I was going to do. It was really one day I just decided to do it. Just the same day I signed the lease and I was gone. That's one of the things. Then I would say that it's when I started my business, Alexandra Villarroel Abrego business. That was another thing that I think it took a lot of courage and also the book, because a lot of people are afraid of failure, so they don't try things because they're afraid to fail. And I knew that there was the possibility of failure, but I still did it. And there's just many things. There's many, if we're talking about memorable moments, I would say that last year I had uncountable memorable moments. I had many, many moments. You know the type of moments when you just stop. It feels like time stops and you just feel like a kind of, how can I say this, an out-of-body experience, really. Like you just look at yourself go and you're like, wow, this is great. But yeah, I had a few. So yeah, I think that the ones that I named would be one of the few, but yeah.
You just answered the question in the last segment when you caught yourself with disbelief. Am I doing that? When you're stepping out of your own body, I think this is the rewarding, most incredible realization. Yeah. And certainly your courage was one of your most beautiful vitamin of your life, because you did accomplish a tremendous amount of things. You did take risks. And you are on the road of your dreams, really. You connected to people on the way you connected to yourself. So you're very true to what you're doing and to who you are, which is a tremendous accomplishment in itself. I would say in our very technical modern society, which I mentioned in the very beginning, to find such a human placement and share it with others, especially young people, this is a tremendous accomplishment. How do you particularly see shaping your business? You did talk about your show, but there are other books you are thinking to write, or you are committed to some speeches as a motivational speaker. What is your immediate future?
Well, right now I'm working on a project, which is going to be, seminars, but how can I say this, like workshops, really, workshops of a certain period of time, 3 months, with a group. I'm working on that, which should, the project should be launched in September of this year, and it's going to be here in Montreal. I will also do it, you know, via Skype and really on the internet, of course, because I do a lot of things on the internet right now. So I'm working on that, which is going to be called AVA Consultant and Coaching Firm. That's what I'm working on right now. I also, at the beginning of the year, I wanted to start writing a book, but I have so many other things that I couldn't do it, you know, again, to write another book, because it takes a lot of time and it's time consuming, really, to write another book. But for sure, in the future, there will be more books. That's for sure. But yeah, that's really what I'm doing. And of course, I would love to travel to different cities to go speak. That's something that I would absolutely love to do.
Well, our time is coming to the end. Hope again it will not be the last time we're speaking with such exciting Alexandra Villarroel Abrego. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to let her finish this conversation. So, Alexandra, your last words before our final music will step in.
My last words, well, first of all, thank you very much for having me today, and thank you to everyone who tuned in and really live your, I always say, really live your dreams. Stop going through life surviving and start living your life to the fullest. And yeah, that would be my last words here.
Wonderful wishes. I'm wishing you to continue your dream world, and we will be in touch in our spirits. Going to your website, and mostly important, wishing you well.
Thank you. Same for you.
And we will listen to our conclusion, this piece of music by Julian Lambert, after which I will express my usual post thoughts. And that concludes my another interview with today quite entertaining guest, Alexandra. I'm calling her just by her first name because she is so personable, and she did allow me to call her by her first name. We did have a touch of very special personal experiences. We did find out that we still have time for ourselves in very hectic, challenging everyday life, and certainly my wish and my thought that with coming more of a warming spring, we will find more of those moments. We will find more simplicity in shortness of the beauty. With this note, that was Lina Life with my show Lina Mirmont. Warmest thanks to BBS with their lovely staff, and until next Tuesday, with my warmest spring coming wishes to all of you.